Whether it's in a kayak or a canoe, summer's a great time to start paddling. And some of the best paddling in the state, in the Midwest even, is on the Wisconsin River. Our next guest has been planning and guiding trips on the river for years. He joins us now to talk about how to make the most of your time on the river, whether it's a few hours or a few days. And you could join in at 800-642-1234. Tell us about your own river trips, big or small, on the Wisconsin River or elsewhere. Do you have a favorite stretch of Wisconsin's longest river, the Wisconsin River? Where else do you like to paddle? Call in at 800-642-1234 with your experiences or your questions for our guest. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Scott Teuber is founder and owner of Wisconsin River Outings. He's an American Canoe Association certified canoe and kayak instructor. Scott, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks, Rob. It's a pleasure being here. Getting to talk to all of Wisconsin at once is incredible.
Now, do you remember your first time out paddling on the Wisconsin River?
So, yes, it turns out I used to teach in the Chicago area, and a friend of a friend did guided trips on the Wisconsin River. And on a fluke, I went up during our summer break from teaching to paddle the Wisconsin, not knowing, never having a dream that I would end up owning a business on it for the last 20 years.
Yeah, something about, I guess, that trip clearly captured your attention. What is it that made you fall in love with paddling on Wisconsin River so much that you made your career out of it?
I think we're so lucky to be in a place where, as I call it, civilization, meaning larger towns, Madison, Milwaukee, Chicago, are within a half day's drive of being somewhere, while not boundary waters remote. But once you get on the Wisconsin River, it's a wilderness experience. You're on your own. You need to make it to the next boat landing if you're having troubles or want to get off. There's no just pulling up and heading towards the road. And, you know, we're losing a sense of that. And I'm proud that I get to introduce people to that kind of experience, to feel so far away, but make a weekend of it, 3-4 days, whatever they can fit into their schedule.
And I read on the DNR website, the lower Wisconsin River, where it leads into the Mississippi, it is the longest stretch of free-flowing, meaning no dams in the middle of it, free-flowing river in the Midwest. That gives a lot of opportunities for different kinds of trips, right?
It does. And, you know, I've known that for years, and I still find it shocking. But whether it's dams or just rivers that don't go that long before they dump into the into the next larger body of water, it's fascinating. Between that and the Wisconsin River is known as the hardest working river in the country. I think we're down to 22 dams that are left on it. You know, that's a combination of, for flood control as well as energy, and you know, trying to balance out high and low waters. But the Wisconsin River is really quite an interesting river in the Midwest, and for that matter, the country.
Before we get into some of the practical sides of things, what are some of your favorite wildlife sightings that you've seen along this wild river? As you say, just a half day ride from a lot of civilization.
Well, and actually the first one, I was above the river. I was walking over a bridge, basically trying to spot customers and get a sense of where people were at. And a snapping turtle that, granted, I was, you know, 15, 20 feet above it, but was larger than a trash can laying on its side, a large trash can laying on its side, was slowly working its way underwater upriver. That's probably the most fascinating thing I've seen. But actually, year before last, so during those COVID summers, I was on a sandbar just upriver from Muscadet, and I was out on a day paddle with a friend, and we stopped to stretch our legs, and we saw bear paw tracks in the sand. You know, obviously not an actual sighting of a black bear, but no doubt it was a black awesome. Bear. That was pretty neat. And then it's the typical stuff. The number of bald eagles now along the Wisconsin, from what I understand from my contacts at the DNR, is the Wisconsin River is actually fully populated at this point with nests for bald eagles. They need about a mile and a half between each. And all of those nesting sites are taken, so they're now working their way up the tributaries. I was out 2 weeks ago for a day paddle. I don't get to get out very often, but and I am not exaggerating. We saw at least 10, if not 15 eagles, and I swear it was not the same one over and over again.
Talking to Scott Teuber with Wisconsin River Outings, looking at river trips, paddling in Wisconsin, especially along the Wisconsin River. You could join in at 800-642-1234 if you want some practical advice on planning a river trip from our guest, or you have a favorite memory, a favorite experience to share on the Wisconsin River or other rivers around the state or beyond. Join in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Scott, let's look at your longer expeditions now, multi-day trips, sandbar camping. What goes into planning one of those?
So the bulk of our business is rentals, and we have a lot of the information laid out on YouTube and for customers to read up on. But, you know, primarily we're in the logistics business. We're trying to move people in boats up and down river as efficiently as possible. Because I'm further downriver, so there's 92 miles between the dam in Sauk City and Wyalusing State Park. That whole stretch is the free flow stretch that we were talking about. There's no dams. There's a handful of bridges. I think we're around eight. So fairly remote. And we're 2/3 of the way down the river from Sauk City and about 30 miles upriver from the Mississippi. Most of our business is coming from the east, heading west. So we have them stop along the way, empty out people in gear, their coolers, tents, sleeping bags, all that good stuff. And then just the drivers continue down to our shop, because most of our business is doing a paddle that's upriver from us and finishing in Boscobel. So we get them loaded up, those drivers, any gear they've rented from us in the boats, and drive them upriver. And then they put on and they're basically paddling back to their vehicles. We do provide some camping gear for rent, but meals and those kinds of things are all on the customer to bring and prepare for. And we have all sorts of tips and suggestions regarding how to feed yourself while you're on the river.
Yeah, let's get some advice there, because you've got a canoe and that's the room you have to work with. What do you recommend for people packing when it comes to their food for their camping stops along that river trip?
So the first thing to think about is the difference between a canoe and kayak, which should be pretty obvious. You know, the canoe, although we discourage it, you can pretty much bring the kitchen sink within reason. A kayak, I refer to that as backpacking on the water. You need a smaller tent if you need the god of the nectar, the nectar of the gods in the morning, coffee. If you're in a kayak, you probably want to have a small camping stove, backpacking stove. You're not going to be able to have anything large, extravagant, heavy, because you'll be super limited on space. Regarding meals, you know, it really runs the gamut. I was just talking to a customer this weekend who frequents I'm going to go ahead and say it. He frequents Bob's Bitchin' Barbecue in Dodgeville. His family goes there first, eats lunch before they come and paddle for a multi-day trip, and then they get like a couple pounds of meat from there and just warm it up on the river.
Nice.
And that's probably my biggest suggestion. If you haven't done this very often, create meals that are easy to just warm up on the river. Make pasta sauce and just boil pasta and throw the sauce on it. Fajitas are really kind of one pan, easy to make. But we've got folks, and I've got pictures to prove it, who do steak and lobster out on the river. So it really is anything from sandwiches on. And then, as I say, it's about cooler management. If you're going to be out for a few days, you need to find ways of keeping whatever it is you're bringing out cold for that amount of time. And my biggest suggestion is labeling coolers. Make sure everybody understands you don't open coolers just to look at them, because each time you open that lid, you're losing that cool space. And basically, this is day one, lunch and dinner. this cooler is day two, breakfast and lunch. And then maybe day three is that night's dinner and the following morning's breakfast. And then they're coming off. Some of those logistical planning things that you'll learn a lot after just a trip or two.
We've got lots of callers. Let's bring on Mark now in Sheboygan. Mark, hi.
Hi. I just wanted to mention that on the Sheboygan River, there are tons of fish in autumn in particular. And at Kohler Company, they've got something called River Wildlife, in particular at the American Club. If people want to become a member at River Wildlife, I was a member there. What we would do is we would go fishing on the river, and they've got a place where the salmon and all kinds of fish bottle up, and they jump over the river. There's literally millions of fish that go over the river there.
Interesting, Mark. Thanks a lot for that tip. Scott, do a lot of your clients do some fishing along the way on the Wisconsin River?
Honestly, not many of them. But there are a handful that go out on a mission to fish. Everything from live bait lures to we have quite a few fly fishermen also who go out. And honestly, that's a special sight to be paddling down the river and come around a corner where somebody is, you know, working a drop off and fly fishing. It's poetry. It's really pretty. So.
Thanks a lot for the call, Mark. We're talking to veteran river trip planner Scott Teuber with Wisconsin River Outings, talking about how to have a fun and safe adventure on the Wisconsin River or elsewhere. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Any advice, any lessons learned from your own experiences paddling on rivers? Any favorite memories of being on the Wisconsin River or one of our many other rivers around the state? Join in at 800-642-1234 with your experiences or questions. That's 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll continue the conversation coming up here on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our conversation with Scott Teuber, owner and founder of Wisconsin River Outings and certified paddling instructor, talking about how to make the most out of your trip down the Wisconsin River or elsewhere. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your river paddling memories, experiences, questions for our guest. That's 800-642-1234. Let's go back to your calls now. Bob is with us in Rhinelander. Bob, hi.
Hi, I worked on the Wisconsin River to protect the water quality for over 45 years. When I started, the foam was so great on the Wisconsin River below Rothschild, you could paddle a canoe in the foam and you couldn't even see it. Below Rhinelander, the whole river was covered with sludge so small animals could walk across, and there was zero dissolved oxygen. Using the Clean Water Act, we cut back the paper mills, the 15 pulp and paper mills, by 93%, and the river recovered. It's in good water quality condition right now, but I'd like to remind people that it can go back to bad water quality if you're not vigilant, and that it's really important economically and environmentally and socially to protect rivers. And organizations in the state, like Wisconsin's Green Fire, advocate for science-based natural resources management instead of political management. The political people on the river said it couldn't be done. The river would always be an industrial river. And it was just not true. We used the science, we cleaned up the river, and everyone benefited.
Bob, thanks a lot for the call. Scott, what are you seeing with your firsthand look at the water quality on that stretch of the Wisconsin River we're talking about?
Well, the first thing I'll do is thank Bob because of the work he did who knows how many years ago. I'm able to run a successful business on a river that like we just got done talking about, is special. My drivers, when we drop folks off at boat landings, and even in working with our customers, we do our best to make people cognizant of whether it's picking up trash, not buying the 24 pack of plastic bottles, but at worst case scenario, buying 1 gallon jugs, and then preferably buying a jerry can, which we also rent and reuse those. We spend time talking about dealing with human waste on the Wisconsin River because that first stretch from Sauk City down to Spring Green It sees a lot of traffic. It's close and convenient to Madison. It's easy for day trippers out of Madison. And, you know, there's a lot of humans that go through there, in particular in July and August. So by everybody participating, following rules, and one of the organizations I want to shout out to is the Lower Wisconsin Riverway. There is a lot of information on their website, not only about the history of the Lower Wisconsin, but ways of protecting it, dealing with waste, whether that's human or trash. It also has a list of the outfitters that are there. There's a lot of information there for you to absorb also.
Thanks for that call, Bob. Before we go to another caller, Scott, let's talk about, we've been talking about protecting the environment and the river. How about safety? What are some pieces of safety advice you give paddlers, you know, maybe beyond the obvious, things people might not think about on the river?
So the Wisconsin River is sandy. I'm sure just about everybody listening has driven over it at some point and seen all the sandbars, and you can experience that pretty much, I believe, all the way up to Merrill. I mean, it's pretty consistent the way it is the whole way through. This lower stretch, though, it runs a little slower. It runs wider, which provides a lot of drop-offs. So the bottom is always shifting over time as those sand particles move their way downriver. The first thing is, if you're going to go to the extreme, is if your feet are wet, you should have a vest on. And in particular, I'm actually shocked by the number of people we put on the river every year who will admit they don't know how to swim. And, you know, we always make sure their vest is well fitted and they understand they need to be wearing it at all times, because on the Wisconsin, you can be walking in ankle or calf deep water 1 minute, and if you're not paying attention, take two more steps and you're going to be up to your hips or deeper. And if you're uncomfortable in the water, that's not a good recipe. The other thing is, especially for people who are used to paddling or doing activities on lakes, you know, when you're on a river, you're always moving. So whether you're out there swimming or the kids are out there swimming, somebody's got to be the one to say, guys, I don't know if you've noticed, but you've drifted 50 yards downriver. You need to stand up, get out of the water, come all the way back up, and you can do that again. And then when you're paddling, and I've seen this because I've paddled with some younger kids, middle school kids in particular. I used to teach middle school, so this might not be that surprising, but they seem to forget if you stop paddling, that doesn't mean you stop moving. So they might be heading somewhere they don't want to go, and they stop paddling. It's like, no, you actually need to keep paddling, but you need to steer that canoe out of the trees or whatever. That's another important thing to remember, that you're always moving on a river and you have to take that into account.
Let's bring on another caller. John is with us in Brown Deer. John, hi.
Yes, good afternoon, and thank you for accepting my call. I know a nice smooth river trip. It starts in the upper Namabin Lake, and one has to find the entrance from that lake into the Bark River. And then it's a very winding waterway, and one paddles with the current through a number of curves and twists and turns and so forth, and winds up in another small lake. And from that other small lake, I don't even know if it has a name, one can embark or begin another trip on the Bark River, and you can go as far southeast as one wants to on the Bark River. But it's a very nice casual trip between the Upper Namabin Lake to that second lake that I mentioned. And one can take a fishing pole, can go fly fishing, or you can go any type of fishing in there, pack a lunch, eat it during the day. It's very pleasant.
John, thanks a lot for the call. Scott, I know your business keeps you on the Wisconsin River, but you know, have you had good experiences on more out-of-the-way rivers in your paddling career?
Yes. Lucky enough, I'm a member of America Outdoors, also Professional Paddle Sports Association, and I have friends throughout the country. Little rivers in Indiana, the Pigeon, in Kentucky. I've done quite a few rivers in Florida, lots of day trips to do in Florida that with just crystal clear water. And actually this fall, early November, I'm doing the Rio Grande for the third or fourth time with friends. So, yeah, I mean, there's way too many out there. No one's ever going to do them all. But, you try and find good ones that'll fit the bill for what you're trying to accomplish, and just do some research.
And in just our last minute or so, how about that first timer, somebody who's never been out on a river or hasn't been since maybe they were a kid? What would you recommend as a good starting expedition for them?
You know, the Kickapoo around Madison. Well, the Kickapoo on weekdays around Madison, the Sugar River, in Burlington, the Upper Fox, I believe. There's so many. Only small concern right now is keeping an eye on water levels. Lucky enough, we got a little bit of rain, and hopefully that'll add. But the Wisconsin has enough water, but some of these others may be real sensitive to rainfall.
Scott, we'll leave it there. Thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you.
That's Scott Teuber, founder and owner of Wisconsin River Outings. He's an American Canoe Association certified canoe and kayak instructor. He joined us today to share his advice for planning your next adventure on the Wisconsin River. We'll get a link to his website and some of those YouTube instructional videos. You can find him at wpr.org/centraltime.